Okay, this is the brilliant intro now.
Oh, I don't have
You
it
can't
anymore.
repeat it.
No, I can't do that again.
I'm holding a portable recorder because the best we could do today is a few minutes of downtime up in the upstairs bedroom
The guest room.
with the kids locked out.
This weekend has been nuts.
Oh
So, like,
God,
Friday
the
morning,
year has
it's been nuts. But, like, just Friday morning, I posted an Ask Me Anything on my Facebook page. And then the children proceeded for the rest of the weekend to ask me everything. It's like, every 5, 10 minutes, something else stupid. Sometimes it was like a thing, like a legitimate thing. But it was frequently just like, do I have to do my chores? No, really. No. Do I have to do my chores? Are you kidding?
No,
No,
you do.
really. I'm asking.
You have to do your chores.
Why?
Because I said so. Oh,
Lord.
it's been a real challenge not to resort to child abuse. The last time we spoke was April.
I think it might have been April.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't March anymore.
We did one podcast right at, early on, and then I made another recording of a walk, I think. And then, but we haven't done anything
No.
more with podcasting. So
No.
I had lots of plans. I went through
I
lots of
know.
plans. One of the plans was for a while to practice and record and send out a song a day
You did for several days.
to people who followed me on Marco Polo, and I also posted some of them on Facebook and occasionally a clip on Twitter. But what was that?
Think someone just texted me or tweeted me or
Where's
something.
your phone?
What's
Oh,
my
it's in your
purse?
purse. Okay. Yeah, they're gonna start harassing us via all our devices, pinging and
Bing, bing,
ringing.
bing, bing. That's great, but go on.
But I actually did that for 3 weeks.
No, it was nice.
But then after that, I sort of stopped because I got deep into the gardening.
Yeah. Like neck deep.
Yeah, and I couldn't do both. It was just too much time. But some of the other projects that I sort of had intentions for included working on an open source project that also would have been applicable to my work. And working on a novel that I have an outline and notes for, working on a number of articles, and also recording some original songs. But somehow all of this didn't happen. But a lot happened.
So
I've
much
been
happened.
incredibly busy.
So much happened.
Like, busy. The things that didn't happen are the things that I thought probably would when I have like time off work, which is I thought I'd read a lot of books. I haven't finished a single book
In 3 months.
since March, which is,
Like
I
how?
mean, sometimes
Some
some
years,
years I was getting through more than a book
book
a
a week.
week. And I haven't finished a single book, and I've barely read anything in print at all.
No, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
No, I've just been doing what I always do. It's just like a damn treadmill, you know?
It's just a treadmill.
That's why I think that's why I'm like reluctant to get on the treadmill.
Oh, you feel like you're already on it.
I'm already on the treadmill.
So what did you tell me what it's been like for you, because this is not so different from your regular routine, except everyone's stuck at home.
Yeah, that's a bit intense.
And the kids aren't going to any of their usual
No. For a while they had Zoom
activities.
calls for like choir and youth group and stuff. Not doing much anymore, even that. But
Well, choir's done for the
it's done for the
summer
summer.
anyway, but
But the big difference is when we went places, and it was usually, I want to say, 5 days a week.
at least 5 days a
A
week,
week.
you were out at least one
At
thing
least one
with at
thing.
least one kid. Not all kids every day, but thank God. But
Thank God. But no, so every day I would have like an hour, sometimes two, of just kind of like chill time. Like even if the babies were with me, they would sleep in the car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You could.
I'd grab a coffee. I'd just chill out, and I didn't do anything noble. I would just sit there and stare in space.
Yeah, which yeah. is what it's literally just decompressing a it's, bit.
Right. So that's just gone.
Yeah.
That's just gone. And I was an early advocate and still am of if you need to just leave, especially the grown-ups, just leave. Don't make an excuse to go to the store or the post office or some other BS thing.
If you need to get out of our quarantine zone for a bit, right. Either just go for a walk or just take the car and drive somewhere. Just right. drive around. You don't have to go to a destination.
Right. You don't have to go to a destination. You can just leave, so you can just leave.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you don't have to justify it.
I have spent so many years, though, not doing that. Like,
yeah.
That was something my family did a lot was, like, Sunday drives, like aimless Sunday drives.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun and soothing routine, but I can't, like, I don't feel good about just burning gas.
Well, we're burning so much less gas.
Well, that's true. Right. I have only filled my tank once since March 13th.
Wow, I didn't know it was that little.
Just once, I think. Maybe.
Now, I'm pretty sure that's true.
Maybe twice, but I only remember doing it once.
Yeah, yeah. I've filled it twice.
Because we've only gone to, like, Costco three times, Target three times, you know.
Yeah, we haven't made
Trader
a lot
of trips. Joe's once. We like a couple times.
Twice Trader Joe's.
Okay, twice to Vestergaard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a couple days we had, like, multiple outings.
Right.
But that was usually in your car. We mm-hmm. filled your car a couple times. Your car has a much bigger tank.
Right.
But, yeah, that's so, like, I was, that should have been, like, 15 fill-ups under normal circumstances by now. So that's a pretty shocking change.
It's really shocking. So, So I think it's really okay to just go. And the teenagers, I've asked them to walk each day so they aren't sitting here stewing in their own juices, getting ready to, you know.
Stinking up the place.
Yeah, just getting ready to chew into somebody. And they've kind of done it.
We've had so much resistance and so many blow-ups and so much pushback just to doing daily chores.
And the little kids have been little kids running around, and that's not been different. The big challenge is not really being able to decompress ever.
Right. Away from the kids.
Yeah. That's challenging. And I have gotten out of, you know, run an errand or just, you know, gone for a drive to
clear your head,
clear my head or something, or to, you know, to do that decompressing,
but
it's not really on the table as a daily activity or like five times a week activity.
Yeah. So I mean, when I think about all this, also I think about how, you know, we got a big stimulus check and I got enhanced unemployment, and mm-hmm. so like we could continue to live. I put my mortgage on like a, what do they call that?
They tack it on to the end?
No, the
forbearance.
Forbearance.
Right.
And then supposedly they're going to tack 3 months' payments onto the end. So,
gas queen.
So things have been like, I mean, there's been a lot of stress associated with getting all that paperwork worked out.
Yeah.
Getting unemployment took forever, and there was some lot of weird pushback. But all that said, we actually did get money.
It all came through.
And we got food benefits.
Yep.
And so,
fucking WIC.
This is, well, WIC is its own disaster, but I mean, but, like, we can go to Costco and buy a big load of groceries and have it paid for mostly, and except for non-perishable diapers.
Not non-perishable, non-food.
Non-food items. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that'll be shut off now eventually.
Yeah.
It takes a while to wind down. Yeah. It's based on when they get reported income and process it. Mm-hmm. But, and the unemployment will get wound down.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been very fortunate, and an awful lot of people are
waiting for a stimulus check.
They're
still.
Either still waiting for a stimulus check, or they're either still working, or they're still working, or they're not working, but in desperate trouble.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially renters, and this is going to be a long, hot summer of
evictions.
Of evictions and chaos and angry, frustrated people.
Ready to lash out.
Ready to lash out. And oftentimes, you've said this all the time, people like identify the problem and the leverage point in a system, and then they push the lever in the opposite direction.
Hard as they can.
Needs to go.
Hard as they can. Like, bam!
So, like, you know, like, let's go cough in people's faces. You know,
yeah! Right?
So.
Okay, yeah, okay, so COVID-19 is actually a leverage point. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
However, yeah.
So, I had a point. I don't know. This is going to be incoherent because we didn't actually prep at all. We just
long hot summers where you were going.
Yeah, but like, I have a lot of sympathy for people, especially with kids, who like either are or aren't going to be going back to school, and maybe they're being forced to go back to work even though they don't have school. Or childcare.
Or summer, like any of the summer programs or any of the stuff.
Any of the things to occupy the kids.
That allow people to leave them to go to work.
Yeah, and I guess they're just going to, like, forcibly send the kids back to school. Like, here we go.
We're doing this.
Okay, come on, kids. Come
on. It'll be great. We're just going to hose you down when you come in.
Sanitizer, yeah. Try not to kill your grandparents.
Don't touch your face, kids.
Yeah.
Don't pick your nose. The kindergarten, stop picking your nose.
Never pick your nose and never... Don't touch anything in the bathroom.
Yep. Not even yourself.
Just hold it.
It's going to be great.
Which is what I did in high school.
Well, yeah. That was a different kind of virus.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I've heard some creative things about, like, colleges reopening. And let's just be frank for a moment. Colleges are reopening because they're hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
Churches are reopening because they're hemorrhaging.
Right. Well, you talked about this a little bit. You're like, most churches never figured out how to do fundraising other than passing, you know, in any significant number other than the regular in-person collection.
Right.
And they just were not able to, like, quickly pivot. Not to mention all their parishioners and whatnot are suddenly panicked about their money.
Right.
And so maybe that would be one of the first things to go, is like, if you don't have money, what is a tithe, you know?
Right. Even if you're tithing.
Right.
10% of nothing is still nothing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's...
So, but I've seen some creative things that, like, was it Oberlin is bringing people back, I think, early. They're doing 3 semesters, and they won't send students home on breaks at all.
Hmm.
So they'll stop at Thanksgiving, and they'll come back again in January.
Hmm.
So, like, no fall break, no Thanksgiving break, none of that stuff. And then, you know, so it's an interesting approach, and I think they also had to stop using their campus hotel entirely and reserved it for quarantining students who have symptoms.
Wow.
So. Okay. I mean, that could work.
I guess. I mean, there's things they can do. It's just like...
I don't know how they're going to manage bathrooms, but okay.
My question about... I read about one place that was converting every dorm room into a single.
Yeah, Oberlin's doing that too.
Yeah, and I thought that was a good idea. But like you said, bathrooms are... I mean, not every single is going to have a single bathroom. So
unless it's Yale. I think Yale had a few dorms like that, but yeah.
Mm.
So I don't have any good answers. But I do know that a lot of people have had great success with online classes. I've never taken an online class successfully, personally.
Yeah.
That has never happened for me once.
I'm very skeptical of them. I'm also very skeptical. I mean, the thing is, I like to work from home. I can get a lot of coding done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm skeptical of online meetings, and especially things like Zoom, for many reasons.
Oh, right.
First of all, I don't trust Zoom to be private and not just to be feeding my data into recognizer systems and text-to-speech and transcript. that, you know, for foreign governments, literally for foreign governments.
Foreign governments?
Yeah.
Like, only foreign governments want access to your meetings.
Industrial espionage, for one.
Oh, shit. That's a good point. Okay. So, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Veronica's, like, youth group.
Oh, her youth group?
Right. I'm like, no, why would foreign governments want to know what Veronica's talking about?
They probably don't care a whole lot about right. that.
But industrial espionage is a thing.
Yeah. But so is just data mining for, like, manipulating public opinion and...
Yeah, boy.
And marketing to...
Yeah. Did we... Have we talked about narrative fucking?
Not yet.
Oh, yeah, that may be its own podcast, honestly.
Well, yeah, you can hear the kids screaming in the background already.
Already, yeah. Well, it'll happen. We weren't going to do this for long. It's okay.
No.
We'll survive. We'll make
it. So we had... We're not very organized tonight, but... Mm-hmm. But yeah, like... And I just don't think... Especially, like... When things blew up in March, I... Mm-hmm. had almost no warning that I was going to need to suddenly start working from home. And my home office was basically a place where I had been dumping everything that I unpacked from Saginaw.
For 3 years.
Right, and not really ever got it properly set up. I mean, I had little space sort of set up very, very rapidly where I could do this and that and music this and that. Mm-hmm. But I hardly ever did it. So, I mean, I had a space to produce podcasts, right?
Right. That was it.
But that was about it. And then just, like, piles of stuff on the floor and piles of stuff on the desks. And so of course, everything was in crisis. So, like, the idea that, okay, now I'm going to smoothly and seamlessly shift to being an at-home employee and just maintain my tremendous productivity, right? You know, like,
yeah, not so much.
Like the world is
falling apart,
blowing up, right? Yeah, it's like, okay, we should go easy on ourselves and, like, say, take a deep breath and, you know, give yourself time to, and everyone also immediately had kids at home.
Yes.
Right. I mean, we're used to having kids at home, but a lot of workers aren't.
And frankly, chose the house so that we could have some kid-free zones.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, set up that way.
Right. So that, because we're used to having kids at home.
Right.
And, you know, trying to keep it.
So.
Keep that in check.
I don't know if we even established what's happening, but one of the reasons I wanted to talk tonight is because I'm actually, in March I was abruptly put on furlough after 1 week of working from home. So.
Because they had such a tight plan.
We switched to working from home. I worked from home for 1 week, and then my company laid off
almost everyone.
Like 675 engineers or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
I don't. That's probably a company secret or something.
But a lot of, they laid off a lot of people.
A lot of people, and yeah, they just let them wander up the stairs and stand outside the door screaming.
Yeah,
they're supposed to be occupying
the babies,
keeping them engaged.
Yeah, it's challenging. Yeah, they have engineers march abruptly.
Yeah, so.
So then, you were off of work for the next 3 months, and now you've been called back.
I've been called back, and actually, I'm starting tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Here comes Sam to get the baby.
Yes.
So, Sam is a match. He's,
Sam is going to be such a good husband one day.
Husband, oh, father, he's trying to help. Oh, he's carrying away the screaming baby, trying to entertain him.
Singing.
Gurgling. Singing, yeah. Okay. I can still hear him. Sorry.
That kid has a set of lungs on him. My goodness. Sounds kind of like a siren. Everything he says is kind of musical. But yeah, going back to work.
So I'm going back to work, and I'm happy and not happy about it.
I mean, the paycheck's nice.
The paycheck's nice, even though...
You enjoy the
even
work.
Though for years... I haven't actually had much disposable income because we have so many expenses on expenses, including for 2.5 years paying 2 mortgages.
Oh, yeah.
And now I owe like $40,000
in debt.
Miscellaneous debt. So there's not a lot of, you know, this big paycheck, but there's not a lot of.
It's nice to have income, you know. I'm there for that. And do you enjoy the work you do?
That's the thing. I do enjoy the work, and I like my coworkers, and my office is generally a nice place to work. But I'm kind of scared shitless to go back out to a job.
Yeah. And arguably, they have not filled me with confidence that they take this seriously.
I work in an open area. It's not a cube farm.
Which is nice.
There's quite a bit of space. I have a section of a whole floor, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's like an alcove.
It's at the end of a very large open area. It's with a window, kind of a corner in the room, with a few, like, three desks and a bunch of bookshelves and computers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, in a typical workday, I'm not bumping up against people. So,
like, even at all.
So it's one of the safer workplaces you can imagine.
Yep.
And I'm going to, when I'm around people, if we are meeting in a room together, I'm going to be wearing mask and face shield.
Yeah.
I don't really feel great about it. And I'm concerned that I'm not going to be able to concentrate very well. You know, for some reason.
I know. The plague is looming.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Just don't think about
it. Well, that's the thing. As my friend Rich points out, employers are mostly going to be trying to convince both you and themselves that business can be business as usual.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. It's great. I'm such an ass.
And restaurants are doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Because there's no alternative for companies, for businesses.
Well, there is, but...
Anyway, I'm going to be arranging to work from home, but people need to talk. People need to work together. People need to, you know, to do this kind of thing. But what's the alternative for restaurants when you say there is, you know?
Oh, well, a lot of these companies vote for these shitheads that won't give them any money so they can keep their businesses open during a pandemic.
Well, okay.
So that was some short-term thinking on their part. And a lot of these companies are run by people who seem to think that every individual should have 3 months' savings in the bank.
Yeah, right.
So maybe they should have taken that good advice. Again, some short-term thinking on their part.
Right.
But that said, there I have seen a lot of family-owned businesses with a lot of institutional memory
mm-hmm.
pivot on a dime and keep almost everybody employed.
Yeah.
They turn to selling their inventory as a grocery store because mm-hmm. grocery stores had shortages. There was no shortage in the restaurant industry. They just repackaged everything and sold it like it was a grocery store.
They started selling their own supplies.
Right, and they just turned to start doing carryout and delivery.
Yeah.
And a lot of those places that did that kind of pivot kept 80%, probably 80% of their employees employed. And kept the doors open and the rent paid.
That's cool.
So, you know, people have figured out how to juggle. A lot of people have figured out how to juggle and make things work. The only people that I see getting a raw deal long term, if we followed really good policy, public health policy, salons and barbershops get a really raw deal.
Yeah, because there's not any way to do that in person safely.
Nope. And also, it's not, there's no real reason you have to go.
Right.
If you actually have a dental emergency, dentists can actually stay open.
Right.
And frankly, there's a compelling case to be made that dental maintenance
his medical care.
His medical care that needs to happen, right? Yeah. So even dentists who really can't do their job without being a potential vector.
Using social distancing.
Right, there's no way to do that.
You haven't heard of teledentistry?
It's fantastic. You should try it. So you just like get the thing, and they'll just like...
the camera right in your mouth.
And they'll just like talk you through it. It's really good.
Yeah, you take the drill. You hold the drill. I understand you can use like a Black & Decker you might have lying around the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very, very cathartic.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, dentistry has to go on. People are going to need their, you know, and while there is significant risk involved in that industry, you know, there's significant risk involved in getting medical care, it has to happen. People will still go, and we can introduce lots of methods to keep it safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've finally sent our own son back to his
orthodontist.
His orthodontist, because he's been really late, overdue for...
Yeah, it's like 2 months overdue.
Overdue for some
adjustments. For some adjustments. And you know, and that can cause harm, and let's avoid the harm, right?
Yeah.
But they were very good. I mean, they had face shields. Mm-hmm. They were really...
Masked up.
And actually, when you have adequate PPE, medical care happens really quite well. It's hard for me to...
And ventilation. Yeah.
Yeah, but those things combined, medical care can happen really well. So are we going to have salons use medical-grade PPE and install ventilators so that you can cut hair and you know, do highlights?
It's kind of...
And wax eyebrows.
At least for a lot of people, the actual just whatever it is that you have done at your salon or barbershop is not really the entire point of
it's
going.
It's secondary.
Right.
It's a social experience.
Yeah.
Right. And so, actually, the really good stylists I know, all of them immediately, like within a month's time, were shipping out shampoos and styles and doing YouTube videos to engage their clientele and keep them engaged and to actually sell something.
Yeah.
Right? One of them put together an oil blend and all these different things, you know, to continue to provide some kind of service. And hosting video chats, because a significant part of the experience is social.
It's social, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but no, long-term, salons and barbershops are really going to get a raw deal.
Yeah.
And I think if we really followed good public policy, they would still be kind of a shaft.
Yeah, but I mean, had we implemented good economic policy, we could have replaced their income.
Yeah. We could have replaced their income, and they could have continued to pay rent, and really just...
Waited it out. Yeah.
If
or,
we engaged...
you know, maybe if they wanted... if they're getting their UBI or whatnot, and
maybe they change careers. Maybe they install a ventilator. I don't know.
Or maybe they have a side hustle for a while, you know, which only could... make them more resilient in the future.
Right.
Some diversify their ability to earn income.
Right. So, it's hard to imagine some of these things that happen on a regular basis that have such intimate contact. Like, you know, you go to the ophthalmologist or the optometrist.
Yeah.
They're right in your face too.
Right.
Right. Although, I think they may not actually have to be. I think there could be some modifications in the way they practice. But again, it's a medical setting. We can use adequate protocols to keep it safe.
They've got to peer into your eyeball with a slit lamp or whatever.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and be able to see what's going on in there.
Yeah.
So,
everybody mask up. But all that said, I don't think the main problem that I've seen for us as a nation is that we have not made any public health policy whatsoever in response to COVID-19. We've tried to kind of craft an economic policy to respond to COVID-19.
We've already spent far more bailing out corporations than individuals.
But I guess that's what I'm getting at is every policy that we've taken has been from an economic perspective and not from a public health perspective as the starting point.
As the starting point and as the, the guiding...
Right, so the starting point is, okay, so how can we keep the restaurants open?
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
So they can do takeout.
Right.
Which I know... Takeout could be safe.
Yeah.
But generally is not safe. And depends entirely on the health and well-being of the employees working there.
Right.
Right.
Just, I think we've been doing it long enough that we're actually starting to get data.
Yes.
And I think that data is suggesting that takeout is one of the safer things.
Safer things to do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There isn't like a transmission, a direct transmission vector.
You're not hearing about like a takeout place as a hot spot.
As a hot spot, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Although I'm not fully confident that we're doing enough contact tracing and
To really know,
but I think we do know. I mean, we are doing it. I think we're doing more than people think. It's kind of on the down low because we start to find out, like, what happened with church gatherings and what happened with spring break gatherings and what's been happening. Yeah. In Florida, as businesses open and what stuff
you've seen
like
that, data.
Yeah. Well, even what happened with in-person voting in Minnesota,
right?
You know.
So all this is to say that we made decisions about how to keep restaurants functioning, not about how to keep people stop people from getting ill.
Yeah.
Whereas public health policies were about how to keep people from getting ill.
Right.
Economic policies are about how to keep businesses functioning, how to keep people fed, and so on.
Yeah.
So we need to make public health policy to respond to the coronavirus and then make economic policy to fill in any gaps. And that just never happened.
There was, I mean, I'm, you know, preaching to the choir, but there was no plan. And the plan was basically to let people die. The plan was to figure out how to support the stock market.
Yeah.
And it's really not improved much from there.
No.
And I'm one of the people that think that Trump not appearing on TV every day with his laughable task force and briefings, you know, which really were campaign appearances, and treated as such, is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And it can only make us all happier and more sane. But it's just the fact that they're not even meeting except like twice a week now. And it's probably just, it's largely just a perfunctory, like, have the governors tell us what's happening.
And for my part, I'd rather such a malicious administration not participate.
At all.
Just go away.
Exactly.
Just go away.
Right. You know, the Wunderkind Kushner and his, like, secret cabal of businesses designed to extort PPE from various states and...
I still haven't gotten any rational explanation as to what the hell happened where they were, like, seizing protective...
Ventilators.
But PPE, like, truckloads of PPE would be pulled over by the feds, and they would just take everything. I still don't have a rational explanation of that. What the hell happened? Where did it go?
I really hope that I live long enough, and everyone lives long enough, that there will be books documenting...
If not trials, books.
Yeah, right.
Although, I know we are learning more.
Mm-hmm.
We can't not learn more.
Yeah.
Right? But there is this thing where, officially, we've had the fewest deaths since March 25th.
Right.
But there are thousands of mystery deaths every day.
A dozen states tracked COVID deaths and cases are increasing.
Yes. Well, track COVID cases, right?
Yeah, and deaths.
And deaths are increasing.
Right.
But there's this mystery illness killing dozens of people every week in many states that no one knows what it is.
Right. Oh, yeah, a lot
like
of
hundreds more than normal.
Baseline.
Than baseline.
Yeah, a lot of states just don't have adequate anything.
Well, and these are people who have symptoms, who have all the symptoms, but they...
Right.
They're a mystery death because...
It's politicized.
They were never... Well, it's, yeah. Well, obviously it's politicized, right? But they're mystery deaths because they never received the test. So the coroner is not recording COVID-19 on the death certificate.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know, it's a mystery death killed this person.
Yeah.
And generally speaking...
It's just going to be ultimately like Iraq, you know, where...
You can't...
Like, how many people died and on what side and doing what and how were they killed?
We have no idea.
We don't really know. And you can't make a statement without it being a political
statement.
Catfight, you know. And yeah, so it's going to be the same way.
Yeah.
Like Vietnamese villagers did the United States kill? Well,
that depends.
Do you want to give the red, white, and blue a black eye?
I'm just asking.
Why would you even talk about that?
Yeah, why would you bring that up?
All right, so truth is, you know, way down the list of priorities.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But yeah, so that's all the fact that, you know, I'm not fully confident that we're going to even know when Michigan cases spike again. And we're not going to be doing adequate contact tracing.
Nope.
Is all part of what's making me nervous, you know? Yep. I had a pretty... basic routine around working, which is a couple mornings a week I would stop at one of two restaurants that I favored, and I would get a fried egg sandwich or an egg salad sandwich.
Oh, those were good.
And a coffee, and then head off to the office. Lunch, I would usually have something in the office. Occasionally, I would go out and grab something. And on some days, work would order in, like, some sandwiches or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just about every aspect of that now is not something I feel like I could do. Like, I would run out to Meijer to get sushi.
Yeah. Sushi. Yeah.
I think the last time I did that was like March 12th or something like that.
It was a while ago.
It was a few days before we locked ourselves down.
Yeah, we locked ourselves down like
on the 13th.
The 13th.
Yeah. As much as I want to support, shout out to Harvest Moon Cafe and Coffee House Creamery, Joe and Rosie's on Jackson Road. I don't know that I can feel safe going in there.
Right.
Either one. I don't know if Joe and Rosie's made it. I know that Harvest Moon is going to reopen.
So. There were people on the patio this evening.
Were there?
Yep.
Okay. I'll eat at work. Okay, well, work has a shared fridge and a small shared kitchen on each floor.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so do I use the sink in the kitchen? I don't know how safe that is. Do I put my food in the fridge? That's probably safe, the food containers. But, like, the counters probably aren't, unless
no
I'm going to be
constantly
sanitizing the counters. But the other thing is just, like, okay, that's where people, that's, like, central on that floor. And so what's the risk of the droplet, you know, transmission in an area where everyone's passing by?
I didn't see any ventilation in that area at all.
And taking turns using the kitchen.
Right.
And then the other place, of course, of concern is at some point I'm going to have to use the potty.
Yeah.
And, you know, the restroom has a ventilation fan and whatnot, but... Mm. And I can wash my hands with soap and water and all that. Right. But what about the droplet risk? Because everyone eventually winds up in the potty.
Everyone winds up in there.
Yeah.
And then there are no toilet lids in there.
No.
So you flush. And
oh, the spray? You mean like the...
Yeah.
I'm thinking more about COVID in the air, but...
Yeah, for people breathing, talking. Maybe they... took their mask off or didn't wear a mask in the bathroom. Yeah.
Right.
And how long does it linger?
How long? I don't know.
We don't know yet.
How good is the HVAC at turning over the air in the restroom?
That's a good question. We don't know.
So, like, okay. So, I mean, I'm putting into place some things like, all right, I'm going to wear some Crocs and socks, and those are going to be my virus shoes.
Yeah,
and
boy.
I'll leave them in the car when I come home.
Yep.
I'm going to wear some different shirts and pants just to work, and I'll change out of them when I come home. And I'll shower after work instead of before.
Yep.
And try to minimize risk that way. And I'm going to, I guess, take my lunch in a cooler, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't expect to be in the office every day because I'm going to arrange to work from home.
As you're able. Right.
As I'm able. And that shouldn't. I can make that case that I can do a lot from home. So.
Right. So.
So, but I, but yeah, this is all just so fucking ad hoc and nerve wracking.
Yes, and if I had confidence that anyone in charge took it seriously,
from every level. Not just in my company or in the state, but at the federal level, at the CDC level.
Because I'm not, the CDC hasn't filled me with confidence either.
No, they've been, all these institutions have been compromised and neutered or turned, you know.
Right, it's really a mess.
Turned into, like, loyalty to the leadership is more important than
any facts.
Mission statement.
I mean, mission statement or facts.
Yeah.
Right. Although I hear fired Florida employee's not hitting her own website.
Right.
With tracking information.
Right. But the fact that that's a thing
is
just illustrates.
Here we are.
Yeah, I'm calling us a failed state because, I mean, many of the institutions of the state are failing in their most basic
responsibilities.
Which is to protect the lives of citizens. You know, yeah. And non-citizens.
And non-citizens. The people, break the lives of the people there.
Right.
And we have been calling it a failed state for some time.
Yeah, well, I have, but I mean, I'm a radical, so.
Right. So, this is why. Like, you
right.
know, so if you've heard us say that before and you're
right.
like,
this is,
what are you even talking about? This is why.
This is an example. And it's been quite a long time since electoralism has had any meaningful influence on policy.
Oh, yeah.
And so, especially at the federal level, thinking that voting for the blue guy instead of the red guy is going to do anything at all.
It's wishful thinking.
And campaigns have absolutely no bearing on
any reality.
Policy in office. And of course, you know, we're basically being asked in November to choose between two doddering imbeciles.
Yeah, it's good times.
So,
but I'd say though, I say this to people all the time, that voting, the only thing voting changes is you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to suggest that, you know, there's no reason to vote or that you shouldn't vote or that you should. I just mean to clarify, don't lose the plot and think something's going on that's not.
Right, that you're really going to be magical outcome.
Right. The record doesn't show that.
Yeah.
That's not what the record reveals.
There's no reason to believe that.
Right. And if you've got that much down,
right.
you know, do your best.
And,
use your best judgment and do what you think is right.
I like to consider that of the voting you do, any local...
Oh, so it carries a lot more weight.
Any local races may have a lot more impact on your actual...
Lived experience,
your material circumstances,
maybe
your
so.
Local governance, than anything that happens
right.
at a federal level.
No, but Mr. Floyd had Democratic leadership at every level.
Right.
And he's still a dead man.
Right.
So... voting blue,
right,
doesn't necessarily do it for you.
Right. Well, I just want to say that having weeks and weeks at home to work every day on, despite all the nerves about the mortgage and everything like that.
Noisy kids and all that.
And a lack of, feeling like we have a total lack of assistance from anyone for schooling, for for psychological help, you know, for like food help, for all this. Despite all that, being able to like work at home here with you and Joy on this shared project, our garden project. Which is huge. It's been a wonderful experience.
Just wonderful.
I mean, yeah, I've been sunburned, covered with bug bites, sore.
And you had that fever, that like black
fly. I had black fly fever from the black fly bites.
Pretty miserable last time.
Yeah, the black fly bites were the worst. And so, well, the spider bite was pretty, spider bites are pretty bad too. Yeah. But that aside, I have lost 16 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm tan and a little sunburned, but
tanned, fit.
I'm tan, rested, but not ready. Right? Tonight I'm going to
sleep. I'm not ready to go.
I'm like the doctor. This is the longest time in my life where I haven't either been very busy working or frantically looking for work since I was 14 years old. That's kind of transformative and also sad and sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's, Chuck Norton was saying that. Shout out to Strong Towns.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, actually, if people get time off and realize how great it is not to work all the time.
This is the real reason they're trying so hard to reopen and get people back to work and drive them off unemployment and whatnot. It's because if they realize that, hey, they could still be incredibly busy and fulfilled people right in their old homes and communities.
With each other.
Then maybe they wouldn't be quite so...
so ready to take a shit job.
Well, so, like, they wouldn't be quite so ready to talk themselves into being okay with what is effectively wage slavery.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
At every level.
I think that's actually the greater motivator than anything else on the table.
Yeah.
Is that we don't want that psychological switch to trip for people. Right. Especially the working classes.
Because then they'll start demanding, like, better work.
Yeah. And money. They'll want to be paid.
Adequately for the literal moments of their life that they're giving up in exchange.
Yes. So. Federal minimum wage is $7.25.
Yes.
I think it's an insult to suggest that people are being paid if they're getting $7.25 an hour.
Right.
So yes, I don't consider that being paid.
Anyway, so that's where we are. I think we're going to wind up. This has been kind of incoherent, but you understand if you've listened why we just don't have a lot of structure happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some clothes folded up and ready to go tomorrow and ask you to brush out my long hair and put it up in a ponytail. And then I'm going to go. It's gotten really long.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a
barber in years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been calling you Gandalf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I did trim my beard.
Yes. So you could fit into
beard,
a mask.
The beard was epic. Yeah, I wanted the mask to be a little more effective.
Right.
But, and then I'm going to go take a couple boys and we're going to go...
sleep out in the yard.
Sleep out in the tent.
Yeah.
And then I will no doubt wake up quite early because I always wake up early when I'm sleeping in a tent because the light and the bird song and the noise will wake me up very early.
Hey, there probably won't be a robin at the window.
I hope not. Pecking.
Maybe that's what happened
to the screen. I wonder if he tore the screen. The robin was trying to get in and tore the screen.
Well, I was mocking the children for suggesting that an animal did it, but that...
Maybe the robin did
maybe
it.
Maybe the robin did it.
We don't know. Anyway, I hate robins.
So much.
Yeah, and then it's...
Off to work you go.
Off to work.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
And...
It's off to work you go.
Kind of in love with life. What is it Peter Watts says in his blog? In love with the present, scared shitless of the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Till next time.
Goodbye.